We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joined by Dr. Anthony Rayo, child psychologist, and we've been talking to the doctor ever since we began the COVID-19 coronavirus lockdown, the New York pause, and kind of finding how to navigate our way through having life, having a family, with all the new rules and changes, with what I dislike calling the new normal, but it really is the new normal. How you doing, doctor?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well, too.
I'm doing good. How do you feel about the phrase the new normal? Because I struggle with it. It's real, but I just, you know, I didn't like the old normal, so I don't know how much I'm going to like the new normal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to, like, update it every, like, you know, 3 to 5 days. It's, you know, like, I wouldn't mind if there really was a new normal. This thing evolves so constantly, and the game changes on us so fast that you're like, okay, well, what's the next thing? And that's really chipping away at our adaptations, just people crazy to the edge.
You are a child psychologist, so you kind of focus on how kids grasp all this. And the one thing I know about kids is that they're way more adaptable than we are. And kids adapt to the apps a lot more than we do with social media. Every time you kind of figure out the old one, there's a new one. That's just the way it goes. And I get it. But how do we manage the kids on social media trying to continue doing a social life? Because it's a different version of socialization. This isn't playing together face-to-face, person-to-person. This is on the screen. How does that change the mind of a child from what you see?
You know, it's such a great question because you're looking at this and thinking, all right, you know, they're cut off from their friends pretty much, right, social-wise. We've got this fantastic technology. You know, it's helping us out in a lot of ways, you know. If, like, we have to go through a pandemic, this is, at least we've got this. And so we think, okay, well, they've got social media. And they'll all tell you, you know, your teens and tweens in particular will say, you know, like, look, you know, stop giving me a hard time. You know, I'm just connecting with my friends. I'm just, you know, finding out what's going on and, you know, say fair enough. But then you sort of, like, step back. And I do want parents to be thinking a little bit about how much more they're doing this and how much less opportunity they have to have real social contact, which is the thing we really want them to have. Hopefully we'll have that in the fall. But, you know, is it harmless, all this extra time on the social media? So I just want two things for parents to be aware of. You know, one is that, you know, these platforms are designed to keep kids, well, keep us too, on longer and longer. That's how they work. And it's those, like, dopamine, those reward hits. They're hard to step away from. So when the kids are away from them, and same is true for us, you feel suddenly, you have this feeling perhaps like, oh, I think I'm missing out on something, or I'm kind of left out of something. I'm falling behind. It can lead to feeling really sad. Or what we see in a lot of teens and tweens is this, like, anxiety. I'm going to be left out of the pack. And that's not good. The second thing is that, you know, there's strong emotions that sort of fly between all of us when we're in a room together, or, like, you know, you've been maybe in a comedy club, right? Somebody's super funny and everyone's laughing. It's just like infectious laughter, or they're bombing and you're like tense. We communicate our emotions. They're contagious. They leap from person to person. Same happens on screens, or especially on social media. So the vibe of whatever platform your kid's on, or the group of people on it, you know, what's the vibe of it? Are they supportive? Are they decent? Are they nice gossip, bad gossip? That creates and transfers strong emotions to your kids. So again, those sorts of things I just want parents to be really aware of, and just don't turn a blind eye and say, hey, you know, I know you don't have your friends, so fine.
Is there something parents can watch out for? Are there a couple signs that are obvious that maybe present themselves where you're like, hold on, I need to dive into what my kid's looking at?
Yeah, really, again, important to know, because if you're not kind of keeping tabs on their emotional state, and they tend to hide it from you a lot, or they tend to be sort of snippy or difficult and turned inward to begin with, it's really easy to miss. I look for things like, how long are they literally trying to be holed up in their room and by themselves? Are they trying really hard to get out of group things that you do with the family, dinners, discussions, movie night? Do you find that they're beginning to move away from your pack, if you will? That's a bad sign. It means that they're going more and more interior, because a lot of them are not going to wear their emotions on their sleeve unless they're a little bit angry or upset. So look for those signs. Look for a lot of sleep disturbances, up later, that kind of thing. And, sudden or more outbursts than usual is another one to look for. And the bottom line is, if you've got a kid who's already known to be sad or anxious from a clinical standpoint, they're more likely to suffer more on exposure to social media.
Do you ever take the drastic measure of just pulling the kids off of social? Have you done that? Is that something parents or kids should experiment with, is just saying, let's turn screens off for 5 days, a day, a week, an hour, just something to kind of shut it down? Is there good and bad from that? What do you see?
Yeah, no, it's a really good thing to do. We should actually all try it anyways. A lot of families are instituting, like, this is the one day a week we don't. Now it's, this is the 1 hour a week we try, and move it toward that. And just think of it as a cleanse, a detox. In many ways, you enjoy the technology more when it's not omnipresent, always there, right at your fingers, right in your eyeballs. So you have this nice, I could do this for a little bit, but it's got some containment to it. Otherwise, you just becomes, to go back to the phrase you use, it becomes like that new normal, and your brain wants more and more. So yeah, absolutely, power it down, pull the plug in analog terms. It's really healthy. And there are times when we do think, we have some kids that we see that get addicted, and we say, look, you're going to have to really reverse this whole thing. Start with the assumption they can't handle it. Move it in gradually and see how they do, and then yank it again if there's a problem, like a detox.
Sure, I would say unplug, but we got fantasy football happening. There's a lot of stuff going on this week. The parents aren't going to unplug. We know
there's
that.
There's nothing you have, right, that you can't, that doesn't involve the technology or screens at this point.
I know.
I'm in it on it too. Same problem. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I did find, and I thought of you, because I found a cool new place where I can sort of have a talk with my daughter without other forces. It's not, you think you have the doctor's office where you can have that chat. We actually take drives together. So it's just me and her, and we kind of just go for a drive. No destination, just let's take a drive. And for me, that's been a really nice place to just sit and communicate. And I think with every kid, you'll probably find you have a special place where you can sit and talk without outside distractions. What are some places that you've seen in your career where parents connect with their kids quietly?
The car is the most perfect spot, right? Because think about it, you're out of the house where a lot of issues and emotions and our love and our situations are all there. All discipline tends to take place in the house. You just move it off site. So I tell parents, just take a walk. The beauty of the car, taking a walk, finding a spot, doesn't really matter. You can go out and, grab something quick, get some takeout, and is that you don't necessarily have to face one another while you're having a discussion. This is true particularly of boys and young men, but girls also, they don't want to be like staring right at you in that sort of like intimidating way. And so when you're in the car, when you're taking a walk, you're sort of free to talk, not talk. Also, downtime, quiet time is normal there. It's not normal if you're like, let's sit down and have a talk and you're face to face. That brief time where everybody just wants to maybe think for a little bit or have some privacy during a discussion, just it's too intimidating. So I think you can just choose anything you want, but it's usually get outside, get out of the house is the big point.
Doctor, tell me about your book, The Power of Agency.
You know, it's a book that came about because we were seeing already elevations in anxiety and stress among people who were otherwise pretty successful in our work, my co-author and I. And then, you know, we're asking ourselves, like, wait a minute, like, where's this coming from? And are there ways that certain people really manage this better than others? That set us off on a path to figure out. We've got like 7 principles, like strategies and techniques that people, you know, best practices use. And then, you know, COVID hits and suddenly people are like, we can use this because we're in a situation of crisis. So we've been asked to talk to lots of organizations and companies and go on these large town hall events where we're trying to coach large groups of people on really what are the things that we need to do to stay grounded, to kind of keep our calm and look at the long term here. It's really all about the decisions we make every day. So it's a book, think of it as like a manual for sort of, you know, best practices of psychology for yourself and your kids.
Here we are in pandemic mode. It's week forever of day whatever. I stopped counting now. I just know it was cold when it started. Here we are. It's hot. You've been along for the entire journey, and we'll continue talking to you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. Child psychologist Dr. Anthony Rao. Your book is called Power of Agency. That's good for all ages, but we really do focus on that family dynamic. It's great to talk to you today.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, too. You take care now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.